Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Sequester cast preview podcast part two. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Brent. How are you doing, Brent?
Doing good, Taryn. Happy to talk about the men. I'm not as excited about the men as I was about the women, but there are still some gems amongst the men and a few more clunkers as well. But I like talking about the clunkers, so it's going to be fun.
All right. Well, yes, we are back. We're going to talk about the men of Sequester Season 3 today here. I am still watching these for the first time, and I will also still be playing them at 1.25 speed. I hope you don't mind.
I do not mind at all. You've already listened to these interviews. We've already had these interviews on the podcast once, so.
Exactly. And I honestly, if you're not already listening to this podcast faster, then what are you doing with your life? Seriously. There's so much to listen to. Did you hear that they're getting super mad at, like, there are a bunch of, like, filmmakers that are mad at Netflix for proposing the option to speed up, like, shows and movies?
Oh, I'm sure it was like Steven Spielberg or some oldies.
It's like Judd Apatow.
Oh, really? I don't know.
Like, Netflix, don't make me call every filmmaker ever, because I will win this battle. You'd better not allow people to speed up things.
Like, that's our personal preference. Allow us to do that if we want to do that.
As though that option hasn't been available on, like, every DVD and Blu-ray and video player and podcast player and whatever since, like, the introduction of it.
I'm actually old enough to remember when a Supreme Court case got to them where they actually challenged, it was TiVo back in the day. I'm sure this is way, like, you don't even remember this, but TiVo was like a DVD thing, and it would, like, take out the commercials, and they were, like, challenging, the advertisers and the networks were challenging whether or not this was even allowed. Like, they didn't even want to allow people at home to skip the commercials. Like, they wanted to force you to watch the commercials because they said that their enterprise would totally die if they weren't allowed to force you to watch the commercials. And here we are in 2019, and somehow we're still here, Taryn.
Somehow. All right. Well, that's enough off-topic conversation. We are going to talk about the men here. We're going to start off with the first of the men, and this is Braden Lauer.
Yep.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Uh-huh. Braden Lauer.
All right. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, everybody. This is Brent back for another preseason interview with the cast of Sequester Season 3. I am here with somebody who I actually have heard of before on Twitter. Why don't you tell everybody out there in RHAP land who you are and what you do and where you're from?
Sure. My name is Braden Lauer. I'm a lawyer from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Yes. You follow me on Twitter.
I follow, I think, the whole crew on Twitter.
Yeah. Yes. Even Taryn Armstrong.
Even Taryn Armstrong. Yes. Even probably Robot Taryn.
It's one of the same, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, who knows? I feel like it.
Okay.
And I'm a lawyer in Vancouver. I won Canada's Smartest Person, which is a smaller little game show that they do up in Canada.
So. Explain this to me. You won Canada's Smartest Person.
Right.
Is that something you're going to tell people? Because I saw in your bio that you don't want people to necessarily judge you from that, but I'm like, they will only know if you tell them.
Right.
So are you going to tell them?
So I won't. I have a feeling there's just going to be someone that somehow knows. There's 19 people in there.
Really?
There's 19 people if, like, someone's from Canada.
You're that big a deal.
Maybe.
All right, I'm here for it.
I don't know. I'm just like, I might have to swerve into it instead of swerving away from it. So
okay.
We'll see.
All right, so how are you feeling? You nervous? You excited?
I'm excited. Like, the nervousness just builds me up.
All right, cool. How long have you been a fan of Sequester? Have you played the online version?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I found Sequester through you guys, actually.
Yeah.
At some point when you guys were talking to Audrey is when I heard about
it.
So I played the online version. I made a few people cry. Was, like, really
how
over the top.
How dare you, Braden?
It was a lot of fun. but it wasn't in person. So as soon as you sort of build those connections in person, I think the game's a little bit different. A little faster, a little scarier.
Okay. So this is a question I have saved specifically for you, because this is a question from Taryn Armstrong, and he, like me, grew to love Sequester, and he has evaluated it, and he's not even sure that you will be able to answer this question. So the question is, how do you view Sequester in terms of strategy? Meaning, is there an optimal way to play Sequester given the unpredictable format changes in the game round to round, or is luck the biggest factor? What say you, Braden? Is there a way to optimally play Sequester, and are you a more offensive or defensive-minded guy?
Right, so there's definitely there's a most optimal way to play almost any game of luck. You know, even at the casino, there's a lot of games of luck.
Yes.
You bring yourself to the optimal, you know, point of luck. Yes, I think round to round, even game to game, you find the optimal strategy per twist. And early game, try to just stay away from those battle matches. Late game, make people fear you so that you're not brought into battle matches.
Okay, let's talk, this is a question I haven't asked yet. Let's talk about jury management. We just watched the Big Brother finale last night in real time. This is like a month after the fact for people who are watching this interview. But jury management was a big deal for some of those people who were on the jury. If you should make it that far to like the final 11 and make it to the final two, how are you going to treat people along the way? Do you have a concept of what jury management is? I remember watching Kim Matina, and she was like, I don't want to lie to people on their way out the door. I really don't want to do that to them. And I felt like that there was a reticence to lie during the season. So what do you think?
I think this is a different beast. Like, I think there's a feeling in the community, in Big Brother even, that like Machiavellian gameplay is no longer respected by a jury. But I think that it's the type of players that are playing those games. So I think here, lying, cheating, like playing a game that's a hard game that
I've
people...
I've heard this before.
Yeah, that
this sounds like
respect.
Taryn always says it's not the fact that they're playing the same way, it's the people who are playing the game. Paul and Tyler, who didn't know how to correctly manage their juries.
I tend to think that they are worse at owning their games than other players.
All right, let's talk about the twists. This is a show that the format changes round to round.
Yeah.
Anything particularly scare you that you don't think is easily navigatable?
Oh my god. I mean, I think that twists that sort of have a physical element scare me a little bit because I'm well aware of the fact that there will be people that are bigger and stronger than me.
All right.
But otherwise, I mean, I can probably...
You got it. Well, the thing that came through in your bio to me is that you're going to play a big game. That's why it feels like you're going to play a big game. Because there are some people who don't know what the fuck they're doing. But you seem to know what you're doing, that you have a plan, this is what I'm going to do. I want to play a big game. I want to be a target. I want people to think I'm a target. And they use me as a shield until they don't even realize that I'm still there. And all of a sudden, I have more power and I can get rid of them. So like, is it an accurate encapsulation of what you plan to do?
Yeah, I think the big game is actually rewarded a lot more in the Sequester universe. Like, you see the Jessies and the Hamzas actually go far in things like Sequester, way further than they did in other games. And you see Nick in Season 1 win the game being like a villain that everyone was actually just fucking scared of.
Speaking of Jesse, I have to tell you this though. Your favorite Sequester player, your answer was, ugh, not a lot. Brad Season 1, maybe Jesse Season 2 if I squint hard enough. How dare you, Brady? How dare you? Like, we love Jesse Larson.
He's really funny on the internet.
All right.
He seems like a fun guy to be around, but like playing the game with him, I don't feel like he really played a game that was really fun or exciting.
All right. So
I don't even know who to pick for my favorite player. It's so hard.
It is really hard. I have a couple myself, but I will leave that to another time. We know that in Sequester, unbreakable ties, if they can't be broken, you're going to get your name on the Wheel of Misfortune if you were somebody who was one of the people who couldn't break the tie. So do you ever foresee yourself going on the Wheel of Misfortune, or would you be like Kim Matina and say, hell no, I'm never going to do that in my life?
I love seeing people's faces break. Like, I would take some of those risks from time to time.
I have a feeling you
would
too.
Just for the fun of it.
Yes. Yeah. All right. On that note, I'm going to leave it be. Brayden, I am so glad to meet you in person. Nice. Best of luck on this season, and we will look forward to seeing you win the money.
Bye.
Brayden, he follows both of us on Twitter, so I was wondering if you had interacted with him before, because I actually did remember him when I saw his name. I'm like, I know I've seen this name somewhere before. It just took me a second to realize where it was. So what do you think of Brayden, Taryn?
I liked him a lot, actually. I thought that was an interesting interview. It was really funny. At first, when he was like, yeah, I think people might know me from Canada's Smartest Man, I had the exact same reaction as you. Like, really?
Like, really, bitch? Yeah, really? Okay.
But then he mentioned that he'd played Sequester before, and that, I think, it makes a lot more sense that people will probably know him at least from Sequester. He's probably talked about it before, or at least people know of it from before. So there's actually probably a decent chance that they do know about it, and so I see his point there. And I really liked pretty much everything else he said. That it was really funny when you were like, hey, I think I've heard this before, because I was like, in the middle of him saying it, I was like, this guy sounds really smart. And then you were like, this sounds like Taryn. And I was like, there you go.
I can't say I responded as positively to Brayden as you. Here's the thing. I liked everything that he said. I thought he was really smart. He understood the game. He understood some of the risks he probably needed to take to win the game. However, I can't shake the feeling that I can't trust him as far as I could throw it.
Yeah.
Like, he feels like you can't trust this guy. Like, he's plotting and scheming. He's like the definition of when Shean was voted off Survivor and she did too much plotting and scheming. Like, I feel like he's plotting and scheming when he's interviewing with me. Like, not even in the game. Like, I feel like he's a little bit of a snake oil salesman kind of vibe to him, where you really wouldn't trust anything coming out of his mouth. And I feel like it came through loud and clear when he was like, you know, I was like, would you go to the wheel? And a lot of the other contestants were like, no, I would be scared of the wheel. And he's like, yeah, just for shits and giggles and just to see some people cry. And I love the chaos. I'd go to the wheel. And I'm like, so it feels almost like he's playing a very Hamza-esque game where he's going to play a big game, but he doesn't really give a shit if he wins. So I don't know how to, I'm not as taken with him, I guess.
I am completely with you in the sense that I really like him as a character. I think he's going to be fantastic. I'm very excited to see what he does. I think for him to win, it's going to be a very difficult road because people might know him as Canada's smartest man, and they will probably listen to him talk. And the way he talks definitely is very threatening in general. I think that, I've only seen one season, but when I saw Cam succeed, I think he succeeded. Right. And I talked about this last time because he comes off as just like a chill dude who's hanging out. But secretly, maybe he's not super secretly, but like on the inside, there was a schemer there as well. Brayden is like full on schemer all the time. I think that he will be probably playing pretty hard right from the get go, and because I don't think anybody will be able to see him as anything but that. Now he can be, I think, soft spoken if he needs to be. It seems like he has that ability, and so I do wonder if, you know, when he's talking to you, he's in sort of diabolical mode, but when he's in the house, he'll be a lot more soft-spoken and laid back. I think that would serve him well, but from what I saw, it seems like he's got one mode, and that mode is wild card all the way, and I'm very excited to see it.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Matt from Big Brother 12, who we know and love, the evil Dr. Super Genius guy. I can't remember exactly what he used to describe himself, but he was like that in interviews and in the diary room on Big Brother. But then in the house, everybody loved Matt. They really did. They were very taken with Matt. So if Brayden can channel that, I feel like he'll be in good stead. If not, though, I feel like he's probably going to be early jury.
So next up is Thomas McMullen. Let's hear from him.
All right.
Hey everybody, this is Brett Wagamont. I am down in Atlanta, Georgia, covering Sequester Season 3. This is our first season covering Sequester for Rob as a podcast, and I'm here with Thomas. Thomas, how
are
you doing?
Nice to meet you, man. I'm doing great. Excited.
Yes?
A little nervous.
Yes, I am too. You were my first interviewee, and I've never done this before, so I'm feeling nervous right along with you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you watched Season 2, so let's talk about the twists. The thing about Sequester that's different, it's not exactly Big Brother or Survivor. It has little elements of all three put together, along with the Korean game show The Genius, where the structure of the game changes from week to week. So what are the twist that you saw during Season 2 that would really make you tremble with fear, that would really suck to come down the way?
I think one of them that threw everybody in a loop was, it was like something like the least amount of even votes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, just like things that like numbers and having to calculate who's going to vote for who just was probably stressing me out. But I don't know, I'm going to try to be prepared for everything.
All right, well, and I think that you actually mixed together two of the twists, which I love. That could be like a new twist that Audrey develops, where she had the lowest even number of votes gets voted out. But no, there was a round where the person with the lowest number of votes got voted out, and then there was another round where the person with the highest number of even votes got voted out. Yeah, so you had to make sure you were even or odd. And in Sequester, unlike Survivor, unlike Big Brother, you can actually vote for yourself. Mm-hmm. So that obviously adds another dimension to it, which you have to account for. Other people could screw up your plans by voting for themselves. Mm-hmm. So on that note, I had a question about Season 2. So we saw in Season 2 the round where the person with the least number of votes got voted out. And I saw a dynamic between Jesse and Serena where one of them was a giver, in my opinion, one of them was a taker.
Yeah, they had that duo going on.
Yeah, they had a duo going on, but it wasn't necessarily a shared duo because Jesse said to Serena, can you vote for me? I really need somebody to vote for me because of a target. And she's like, yeah, I'll vote for you. But in doing so, she left herself vulnerable.
Right.
And then when the votes were revealed, she was actually one of the people that was tied with everybody and could have conceivably gone home at that point. So would you consider yourself more the Jesse type where you're like, look, I have to be safe no matter what? Or are you more the Serena type where you're like, you know what? I'll cut you a break in hopes for a favor return later on.
You know, I could see myself, I don't think I'd be as confrontational as Jesse in asking for things, because, you know, people can take that the wrong way and think that you're kind of trying to play them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I definitely want to think further ahead than just to say, yeah, let's do it. So, leaning towards Serena, you know, I don't think she made the wrong choice, but I think she could have played it better.
Yeah.
But I think it would be great for gaining trust.
She wasn't as selfish as I hoped she would be. Right. And I feel like in a game like Sequester, especially during that round, mm-hmm. I feel like you have to be...
You have to be a little selfish.
You have to be a little bit selfish. Okay, so this is the thing. As I mentioned, this is our first season covering Sequester, and I am trying to introduce it to our audience. And I have long said, after I watched the show, that it would be like catnip for RHAP audiences. But tell the people out there why you love Sequester and why they should want to watch Sequester.
So Sequester, and this is something you'll realize if you watch it, is fast-paced as hell. And
a blistering pace.
Blistering pace. That's what really interested me, because I've thought about applying to other shows, and then it really just came down to the speed of it. I mean, we're not here for months, and everything is so fast-paced. We don't get to meet these people and have these relationships built over time. So it's really just in the moment thinking, mentally tasking, physically tasking. So that I really wanted to challenge myself, and it seemed like a lot of fun. So.
Cool. It seems like a lot of fun, too. We're glad you're here.
Just like great experience.
So there's another element to the game, which is the LOSs. For those of you who are new to Sequester, it's similar to Survivor's Immunity Idol. It keeps you safe from being eliminated in the game for votes or potentially a battle match. Is that something you can see yourself looking for, and do you think you would need them early on in the game?
I thought about this a lot. Yeah. You know, I think... Me along as you know, everybody else, I think it's paranoid of going out early.
Yes, you came down here. Yeah, you flew down to Georgia for a week to play a game, and you don't want to get voted out first, so yes.
Don't want to go out first. So I think that initially in the house, people are going to start maybe panicking, looking for it. I've thought about it a lot. I probably won't look for it until no one's around, or I'm pretty slick, so I'll keep it on the down low, but it's something I'm going to be looking
out
for.
You look slick.
I try my best.
All right, so here's the thing. I saw people making incredibly emotional decisions about battle matches in Season 2. Honestly, no offense to the people in Season 2, but you guys were totally nonsensical in terms of who you threw into the battle matches. I could not see the narrative of why certain people picked other people. So, Thomas, are you going to make any sense? Like, if you get voted out, like, God forbid you get voted out, are you going to make sense in terms of who you think?
I hope so. It's up for them to decide, but yeah, definitely last year, someone would throw a name out, and
you're like,
they'd come
what?
Back to them and be like, all right, well, if I get out, you're going up. But no, I think... Really, it's going to come down to a strategic standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Maybe if I'm out early, I might just want someone I like to come hang out with me. So, no.
Well, I don't know if that's the best strategy, but it could be some newfangled strategy that I haven't thought of before.
Get some of the top dogs.
All right, so let's talk big picture. What is your strategy in this game? What do you see happening the first? I mean, it's 5 days, and there's two rounds a day, eliminating two people per round, so that's four people going home every day. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? How are you going to survive?
You know, at first, you know, the strategy is be a people pleaser, you know, lover of all, no one wants to put the person that they love, you know. But then you have last season where you had the floater rounds and people that get caught.
I was going to ask you about that, yes.
And so it kind of changes your mind. So really, I want to be partnered with someone who I think is strong in the game. I want to not almost hide behind a target, but use them as a shield.
Okay.
And still make those game moves so that I can have a resume, you know. And hopefully it works out, but I'm looking for a backstab at some point. We'll see. But, you know, maybe
that's cool.
Use a shield.
I was going to ask you about that because to me, you could be somebody else's shield and you may not even know it.
That's a good point, you know. I'm pretty loud. I think I'm a goofy dude, so people might.
I'm not incredibly threatened by you. I saw your pictures when I was looking at the cast list a couple days ago, and I was like, oh, wow, he seems like alpha as you know what. And then I met you, and you're totally sweet and nice. Yeah. So I think you should fit in nice. So I have two more questions for you. I saw in your bio, you can do push-ups with your legs over your head.
Well, it's like, I can put my legs over my arms like that.
Uh-huh.
Just like a spider and do some push-ups.
Uh-huh. I'm not going to ask you to do it here, but...
I would. I'm in skinny jeans. It might be hard, but...
It might be hard.
You know, we'll see.
I don't even think that we can get it on camera, and I'm not going to ask Jordan to change the camera. But the other thing I wanted to ask you, and I have to talk to you about this.
Right.
They asked you your favorite Sequester player.
Right, yeah.
Who did you say?
I said Judd.
You said Judd?
I said Judd.
I hope you were talking about for entertainment purposes.
Yes, of course. No, he was... Oh, man, he was hilarious. He started off slow. He was quiet.
Right.
And I didn't know who Judd was until, like, a couple episodes in.
How dare you? You didn't know who Judd was?
No.
Oh, my God.
And then you find out it's because he has that LOS that he's been holding on to.
Right.
And then, I respected his move with the fake LOS. I thought that was pretty nifty. And then he just started causing drama left and right. And it was just so funny. His accent, it was just so funny.
So you might emulate his entertainment and his character, but not his necessarily strategic gameplay.
No, not really. I mean, he had some good ideas.
A couple of good ideas here and there.
He was a little too loud. I just thought he was hilarious.
He burned too bright too fast.
Yeah, definitely.
And in a game that is fast-paced as Sequester, I felt like
it was
a little too
pace yourself at some point. So.
Well, Thomas, I am wishing you all the best of luck. Everyone out there in Rob's Podcast Land is wishing you all the best of luck. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, Thomas.
Thomas. I was kind of bored, to be honest.
Me too.
I love him.
He seems like a really sweet guy, but I can't say I was especially taken with anything that he was saying.
Yeah, well, I think that boringness will serve him well. I think that, again, like with a cast of so many strong personalities who are going to be gaming very hard, I think that players like him are very valuable, and I think that it's going to be I mean, you know, maybe early on, he's somebody that's easy to take out. It's funny that he mentioned Judd, because I feel like he is kind of like Judd when Judd is not being crazy. Like, he is a little bit of like Big Brother 15 Judd. And I like I said, I think that will serve him well. I think he also has it in him to go a little bit crazy. And I think that will also serve him well. So I like his chances. The more the interview went on, the more I sort of grew on him here. And I think he could do well.
Yeah, just to put things in perspective, he was my first ever interview. And I wanted somebody to have just a little bit more energy, so that's why I put Braden first. But Thomas was my first ever interview, so I was probably just as nervous as he was. And I don't think I was really, I hadn't yet adapted to interviewing these people and like the rhythm that I wanted to use with them. So I felt like he did pretty well, all things considered. I was a little bit bored by some of the things that he said, but I also felt like he was really, really nervous talking to me. Overall, I feel like that his chances are probably pretty good, as you said, because with so many crazy nutcases in the house, I mean, is anybody really going to come for Thomas? He's a really good looking guy. It was just fan service there at the end when I was asking him about the push-ups with the legs over his head thing. I kind of wanted to see it, but then I'm like, no, this is terrible. We don't have enough space for it. So I feel like he could be fun in the house, and he is an obviously gorgeous guy. I talked about this with the women earlier, but as a guy who's really good looking, I feel like they'll want to keep him around. I feel like it works in reverse with guys. Like I said, prove me wrong, we'll see, but that's what I've watched reality television for a long time, Taryn. I feel like that's what usually happens.
Really? I feel like gorgeous women make it to the end all the time.
Okay, we'll see.
All right. Next up is Matthew Caden.
All right. Hey everybody, Brent Wagama here with another preseason interview of Sequester Season 3 for Rob's the Podcast. We're here with our next contestant who is trying to win the big money. Why don't you tell everybody who you are, where you're from, what you do, Matt?
My name is Matthew, and I am 51 years old. I live in a small town outside of San Antonio called Hondo, and currently I am retired from the Air Force, and I play music full-time.
Work! You know, I was in the Army for a little bit, and from 2000 to 2004.
Thanks for your service.
Thank you for your service. Yeah. But this is about you. So when we were driving over here and we were unpacking our bags, I actually rode the car with you, and you said you were aware of who I am. Yep. But why are you aware of who I am? Do you watch Big Brother or Survivor? Like, what are you into?
So I do watch those shows, but yes. I also watch Rob Has a Podcast.
Okay.
And I always look forward when you're on there, because you are the one who... Who says it like it is. And you always say, when I'm always screaming at the radio when I watch it or on the computer, and like he says exactly what I was thinking.
So okay,
you got it down.
That's what I'm here for. Color commentary. I'm not. If you want strategy and analysis, you go to Taryn. If you want Fancy Fencerton, you go to Melissa. If you want the real team, you come to me. That's how it goes. All right, cool. So how are you feeling? Are you nervous? Excited?
I am very nervous. Yes. All of that. Okay. All of the above.
Yes.
I'm ready. I'm here to embrace it. I'm here to have a good time, win the money. You know, I'm here to. Just had this whole experience, and this is something cool that I never thought I'd be on.
Cool. And now, I read your bio, and of the people who I read everybody's bio, but I felt like yours was the most thought out in terms of you have a strategy and a plan, and you recognize who you are and what you need to do coming into the game. So Sequester's a game where there's a lot of twists and turns along the way, but nevertheless, it's a reality show, and it's populated probably, I'm guessing, I don't know, but people who are probably younger than you for the most part.
Yeah.
So how are you going to tackle that?
Well, yeah, so I'm coming in as the old guy, and which is fine. And usually those are the people that become the cannon fodder. You know, they get knocked out quick. But I think what I bring something different is that I am very competitive.
Okay.
I do have life experience. I do have the ability to deal with a lot of different people being the age that I am, being that I've been in the military.
No, let's stop right there. You say the age you are, but I have to say, as Bryce Isaiah would say, Zaddy, you are pretty jacked, Matt. For somebody who's 51, you're looking pretty good. So I don't feel like you're going to struggle in the competition.
No, I don't think so either. I think that's not really going to be the issue, is the competition. It's going to be the social end of it, I think. It's going to be being able to come into a house with younger people, and are they going to be accepting of me? Is there going to be some issues, basically, of I'm going to look at them like you're a stupid kid, shut the fuck up kind of thing,
yes.
You know, but I have to be able to, you know, keep that in check and realize that I got to focus on what I'm there for. It's definitely going in and talking to everybody, making everybody feel comfortable, making feel like they can come to me and talk. If I have to play this, you know, father figure role, so be it. I'll play it, you know, just in order for me to get along with everyone.
Okay.
You know, if not, if people start acting stupid, then I'm going to say, hey, you're acting stupid.
All right, I'm here for it. So now, Taron Armstrong, who's going to cover the show with me, he wanted me to ask, especially the people that I would consider to be more cerebral players, is there an optimal way to play Sequester? It's a game where the format is changing from round to round and day to day, and it's played at a blistering pace. Right. So is there a way to optimally play this and not get your hand caught in a cookie jar at some point?
Sure. People that say they have this cut-and-dry strategy coming in, they're going to fail. You have to be flexible. You have to take it each day, each competition, realize who's strong, realize who does well in certain things, and just be able to adapt to that. And if they're, if you notice somebody's really good at mental puzzles, then, you know, you get, or even competitions or, you know, physical ones, mm-hmm. you just have to be able to align yourself with them, kind of work side by side and, okay. and get through each day to day. It's not long term. It's not a marathon. No, I don't think it is a marathon. I think in this type of environment, is a sprint.
It's more of a sprint. Yes, I understand what you're coming from, yeah. though, yes. You know, as someone who knows me, that I sometimes get into it with Big Brother alumni on Twitter and social media because they don't own their freaking moves and they won't admit their stupid gameplay. So, Matt, I'm going to be covering the show for RJP, Taron and I both, but if you're going to get it from somebody, it's probably going to be me.
All right.
So, are you here for it? And will you take it if I dish it out to you?
Of course.
Okay. You're not going to block me on Twitter?
No.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. The other thing I wanted to ask you was jury management. Is that a real thing to you? And if you make it to the final two, there are two ways to go about this. You make it to the final two, you're like, look, either I win or I don't. I don't really care what the jury has to say. They're losers, girl, bye. Or you're thinking about it along the way, like Kim was, and making a cognizant decision, like I do or I don't want to lie or cheat or make this person feel bad on their way out the door. Is that real to you or not?
No, I think jury management is, that's something that doesn't affect me. You have to be able to sit down in front, if you're at the final two, and sit down and look at these people and say, look, I'm here, you're there, and there's a reason why. And if it has caused, if I have to lie or misdirect or, you know, put the legs out underneath somebody, then so be it. They just have to be able to take it. Don't be bitter.
Okay.
I cannot stand watching those shows and those bitter juries.
Okay.
I just cannot stand that.
All right.
You're there, I'm here.
So what about the second season? Do you think that the jury got it right during season two? 5-4 verdict for Kim. What did you think over Cameron?
I don't know. She played, to me, a pretty low-key, under-the-radar game. Mm-hmm. I mean, she did what she had to do socially, but I think he worked a little bit harder, personally.
I think he had a harder road to hoe, because he was the one who got there late, and then had his own alliance blow up on itself when Jesse decided to go crazy at the final eight during date night. So, I feel like that he probably had a little bit more of a road to hoe, but she probably had an easier time.
Yeah.
What's your number one fear walking into this game? What do you fear the most?
I think not getting along with anybody, with everybody, kind of automatically being an outcast.
I don't feel like that. Like, I'm talking to you now, and even if I didn't, if you hadn't kissed my ass already and said, Brittany, my favorite, like, I would already take a liking to you, because I feel like you're a genuine article.
Yeah, well, but I think I think it's genuine that me coming in and not being accepted right off the bat, and I have to work harder to get accepted. It's, like I said, this is very fast-paced, and so there's no time to sit around and do a lot of thinking.
So. Okay, last question. So, if anybody, who was your favorite player of the people that played in season two?
I didn't really have anybody that stood out that was like really good.
Or entertaining.
I thought Amanda was pretty entertaining.
Yes, she was.
And I thought that even Veronica was pretty entertaining.
You are standing the two queens that I live for. Yes, yeah. Amanda and Veronica could have their own show, and I would totally be here for it.
They were definitely entertaining. I liked how Jesse played the game.
Yes.
I think I would play something closer to what he is. Not exactly, but he's something that's closer to what I would play. But those are probably the three that stood out to me as being fun to watch and entertaining.
All right. Well, Matt, I wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank
Go
you.
Out there and make Robinson Podcast proud.
Oh, yeah.
And bring home the win, all right?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. We'll see you guys soon.
All right.
Hey, what'd you think of Matt? He definitely knows who we are, definitely listens to the podcast, and definitely is very set in his ways, I felt like, Taron.
Two big red flags right away. First of all, he said that you always say exactly what he's thinking. So that's...
I heard that.
That's bad news. Also, always a bad strategy to not block Brent on Twitter. So that's another, it's another bad one. It's interesting. He's definitely significantly older than basically the entire cast that I've seen so far.
Yeah.
And normally I'd say that puts him at a severe disadvantage. However, last time we saw somebody who was also older than the rest of the cast win the game. Now, how repeatable is that? I don't know, but it's the first and only example I've seen. So it seems as though perhaps Sequester is a bit more winnable for the older contestant than a show like Big Brother or even Survivor to an extent. I wonder how much that has to do with the fact that many of the competitions are not as physical, although I think I saw in the preview for this season that there are more physical competitions this season. So that may be a disadvantage. Though he's not exactly a like guy that can't do anything physically, like he seems right. Like he's perfectly capable, and so I don't think that's gonna really hinder him too much. I think honestly it seems like it's more the sort of like maybe like detailed sort of competitions that Sequester does, like having to, I don't know, blow a ping pong ball up a table. Like I could see him having trouble with that sort of thing.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, I saw the promo too, where Audrey said that this is the most physical season ever. I could be wrong, but I know that she really doesn't have physical competitions for battle matches usually. Or if it is, it's in a way that is physically gender neutral. I think the physicality would probably be in the challenges or the twists, like you know, the first episode or the third episode of season two, where they divided up into teams and then, you know, did some game. But that ultimately doesn't decide who goes home. It just sort of sets the table for, you know, what's in front of you as far as the voting goes. I liked Matt. I feel like he has little patience for other people who don't share his necessarily view of the game or the world. I feel like he could be a little too alpha. And I feel like he almost could be like a figurehead for somebody to pick off along the way if they want to get somebody out. So I feel probably neutral about Matt. I like what he has to say, but I don't know how practical that is for him to implement.
Yeah, I don't feel great overall. I feel like I think he's going to have trouble, as he said, fitting in to in the first part. I mean, I think, you know, Kim was able to succeed because she was able to fit in to an extent. She was able to make individual connections with people that carried her a long way.
Yeah, Matt wasn't very touchy feely with me. Not that I wanted him to be. Not that he needs to be with me, but I just felt like that. I felt a little intimidated by him because he is jacked. You can't see it underneath that shirt, but he is a buff dude for being 51 years old. So I really just don't know how much she's going to have in common with these people.
Yeah, I feel like there are certain roles that people have to play in a game like this, and when you're older like that, I think the way that most people want to relate to you is like, oh, you're like my dad.
Yes, and not Matt.
That's not him. So yeah. I think he's gonna find trouble there.
Okay. All right. Next contestant.
Next up is Drew Harris.
Oh boy. All right.
We're here with another preseason interview of Sequester Season 3, and we are here with our next contestant who is here to win the big money. Why don't you tell us who you are, where you're from, and what you do?
My name...
I like that.
Psych.
Yes, psych. Okay.
My name's Drew Harris.
Okay.
I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
All right.
Originally, Hardin, Florida. Grew up in between, so I have a deep love for both. I am an account executive for a software and merchant service company, and I am in the business of building relationships and creating raving fans.
I can already tell that you have an amazing amount of charisma emanating from you. So what do you love about this crazy game of Sequester, and how are you going to pull it off?
Okay, sure. Thank you. It's very kind. I am going to really, the most interesting thing to me is going to be the battle challenge.
Okay.
I am looking forward to showcasing perhaps some physical ability and mental fortitude.
You look like you have a little bit of physical ability.
Thank you.
Cool, excellent. And the other part of it is the social game. There's going to be probably, I'm guessing, if it's anything like season 2, 10 men, 10 women in the house, and you're going to have to try to find some common ground with all sorts of different people, ages, races, orientations. How is that going to work for you? Do you think you're here for it?
Yeah, no, yeah. I think I'm going to actually excel in that.
Okay.
I try to not look at face value or pretend I understand anything. I like to try to see where people are coming from first,
right,
put myself in their shoes instead of saying that just because you do XYZ, oh, I understand that.
Okay.
I think that's going to be key in building relationships and making friends in the beginning. I'm going to focus on Dale Carnegie's 3 C's. I'm not going to criticize.
Don't compliment me, Matt.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Criticize. Yes. Condemned, correct. Yes. I mean, yeah, there we go.
By the way, I wanted to give you compliments on your Instagram name. For those of you out there who want to follow him, the coolest name ever. So his name is Drew, right? But his Instagram name is The Past Tense of Draw, which I just thought was so clever and so unique, and it is so nerdy for a game like Sequester. So yeah. I was definitely here for it.
Oh, I got more of that.
You got more of that?
Yeah, 8732, this is Crew, what it do? You know, shout out to the Young Jeezy fans.
Yes! I'm here for it. All right, so Sequester is not exactly like every other reality show on television. It's not like Survivor or Big Brother or even The Genius. It's all rolled into one. It's a game where you are using your social relationships to vote people out, but the format of the game is changing week to week. So how are you, Drew, going to navigate your way through the different twists and turns that the game throws at you?
I'm going to do my best. I don't know what's obviously coming this season, but in that, I operate pretty quick. I like to move fast.
I can sense that.
A lot of the things about Sequester, I feel like, highlight a lot of my attributes that I think that I excel at. So I the fast-paced game, the quick moving, I feel like is going to be good.
Not just fast-paced game, a blistering pace.
No shit.
Yes, you're going to be playing your ass off for 5.5 days straight, and if you make it to the end, it's going to feel like a whirlwind at the end. And I wish you all the best of luck in doing
that. Thank you.
Here's the thing. What would you fear the most coming into this game? What could Sequesterbot think of that would absolutely terrify you?
Oh, Sequesterbot coming up with something I'm not too worried about. I feel like I can organically adapt, you know, to any type of situation that's thrown out. Player-wise, I have concerns, you know what I mean?
Yes.
With, I would say, probably the thing that I'm going to be weary of is somebody that is also very emotionally intelligent, that, you know, focuses on the small details and, again, tries to align people and seeing in their shoes, not just, you know, the Blake and understand. Those people are dangerous. They're smart. They know what's going on.
Okay, so did you watch season 2 of Sequester?
I did.
Okay, who was your favorite player?
So starting off, it was Jesse.
Yes. I read in the bio that you were, like, compared him to Johnny Bananas from The Challenge.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know.
But not as dumb.
Maybe not. But, yeah, Jesse, at first glance, you know what I mean, caught my eye. And then as the show developed and I started to watch, I really like Cam.
Yeah. Cam was one of my favorites, too, as the series wore on. Mm-hmm. I felt like that he really proved his worth. By making it to the final two, didn't quite take home the win, though. No. Do you think the jury got it right?
I think, well, no. I mean, well,
give me the tea. I want the tea. You know, if you feel like the jury didn't get it right, then tell me why.
Yes. They got it wrong.
Cam should have won.
I think Cam should have won. Okay. He played a sick game, dude. Okay. I mean, he came in there, and not only, like, during his, like, introduction interviews, he laid out a game plan, he executed it, and I was very pleased with that. So in my mind, I would vote for Cam if that was me on the jury.
Okay. How you feeling today? Pretty nervous? Apprehensive? Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I think you're going to be fine.
Thank you.
I'm excited about
that.
Anything you want to ask me before we wrap this up?
What is the biggest thing that you're looking forward to this season?
I am looking forward to the cast, because the cast from season 2 is the reason why we are now covering Sequester at Rob's Podcast, because they were absolutely freaking phenomenal. So I am so psyched to see if the cast of season 3 is as amazing as season 2 was, because honestly, it is a tough hill to climb, but I feel like you guys can do it.
Well, thank you. I hope not to disappoint.
Okay, well, Drew, I wish you all the luck in winning the money at the end.
No doubt.
And we will be watching to see what happens at Rob's Podcast, all right?
Sounds good.
Thank you so much. See you later.
All right, Drew Harris.
Drew.
What do you think about Drew, Taryn?
Interesting. He seems like a guy that is very practiced. You know, the way that he described himself in the opening of the interview was very rehearsed. The way that he talked about the three C's, he seems like the kind of guy that reads, like, books about, like, how to, you know, be
smooth
a successful
people.
Manager or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't think if he relies on that sort of thing, I don't think that will serve him very well. Cause I don't think they apply as much to a game like this as people might think. Because again, it's, you can only use that social capital so much before it runs out. That's different than real life where, you know, things are much more leisurely in general.
Right.
So that concerned me a little bit. He definitely had an energy to him that I think was a little like, so there was that practice and rehearsed side of him, and there was also a kind of manic energy there I felt intimidated by him. I felt like if I were playing a game with him, I would be worried about him, because I feel like he is capable of being a wild card.
That's the thing. And
not even potentially like a, you know, where Brayden I feel like might be a wild card because he's like very smart and rational. I feel like the sense that I got from Drew is that he might just turn on me because of I don't even know. Because he sees me as somebody that's smart or something, you know, some random reason that I can't anticipate rationally, And so that would really concern me. And I wonder how other people will view him in the game as well.
Right. Quick story. When I was a kid, I always used to go to the Burger King, and you know, you could, there's the fountain drinks right there, and I would, you know, take my little cup and I would get Coke, and occasionally I would get Sprite. But occasionally there would be these kids that would literally go through and get like a little bit of everything, like Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite, Hi-C, you know, Sierra Mist, what, Dr. Pepper. They put it all in one. Like, crazy wild nutcases. I feel like that's Drew. Like, I feel like he's just that kind of guy. He is like the male version of Jayla Rocks. He stands out in a crowd, and he is a nutcase. Now, look, Sequester rewards people who are pretty bold, but I don't know that they're going to reward somebody who's this bold. I really felt like I never really got to know the real Drew. I've even talked to him a little bit offline, like just, you know, in responding to my comments and whatever, and I still don't know that I really know the real Drew. So maybe he'll let the cast know who the real Drew is, but I felt, I was exactly like you, where I felt like a little intimidated by him. Just that sort of like alpha hetero energy, and it's very real in front of him. It just was overpowering almost for me, and I was trying to get through the interview, but there were a couple awkward moments I felt like here and there. Seems like a really cool guy, but I really feel like I need to get to know the real Drew in order to relate to him, and I simply wasn't able to do that in this interview.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny though. I feel like I could have said something similar about somebody like Hamza or Jesse, and they both did decently well. Yep. Certainly Hamza was out first, or one of the first, but he did make it back, and he did pretty well, and Jesse managed to do it pretty well. I do feel like their sort of notoriety, perhaps is the right word, that they were a known quantity, I think that helped them. I don't know if Drew will be able to find a similar level of success without it. I think that he's the kind of guy, if he amasses a following, if he gets people on board because he is a loud voice and he is directing the action, then I think he can do well. But I do worry about a lot of things for his potential here. Also, something that I've been meaning to bring up is a lot of people talk about, like, oh, yeah, like, I would totally go into a battle match. Like, I can't wait. I'm going to prove my worth in a battle match. I'm going to do well in a battle match. Bad feelings about anybody that says that. And everybody should be saying, of course I never want to be in a battle match. Battle matches are not meant to be won. They're meant to be avoided. And you can't guarantee that, like, that's kind of the point. I mean, if you watch season two, I watched season two, those battle matches were not winnable. Certainly there was one guy who managed to win a couple of them, but overall, like, nobody is just gonna, you know, win a bunch of them. You could easily run into something that you just happen to not be good at, and you're out just like that. You should not want to be in battle matches. You should not want to prove your worth. You should not think that because you're a physical guy that you're gonna be able to win battle matches. We saw Hamza lose to Kim. I think that's all you need to know about
battle
matches.
That's all you need to know. Yep, I agree.
Don't be like, oh yeah, put me in a battle match. It's not gonna work out well for you.
All right.
Next up here is Hunter. I'm not gonna try to pronounce his last name.
It's Ince.
Here again with another contestant from Sequester Season 3. Why don't you tell everybody out there who you are, where you're from, and what you do for a living?
All right. Well, my name's Hunter Ince. I'm 21 years old. I'm from a little small town in Texas, but I just moved to Norman, Oklahoma, where I work at the University of Oklahoma in Athletics Marketing Department, and I'm also a grad student there.
Okay. So I have to tell you, Hunter, out of everybody that I read their bios, yours was the one that really struck me, because I have to tell you two things. One, you're flipping adorable, okay? But two, you have no fucking clue what you're doing. What are you doing here? Why? Well, how in the hell are you going to do good in this game?
I ask myself that all the time. You know, I try to come in with a strategy, but I gotta tell myself it's Sequester, so you don't really know what to expect.
Well, you know, a little bit. You know that there's a general format to the game, elimination votes.
Changes every round.
Social game is usually king. If you are good socially, you're probably going to do okay.
Hope so.
Okay, and then if you piss people off, you might get thrown into a battle match.
Yeah.
Okay, so which one are you more scared of?
I'm not scared of battle matches.
Okay.
I'm confident in my ability to challenge.
Okay.
My thing coming in was, you know, I have to survive 5 votes to secure that I'm going to be in a battle match that would take me out of the game.
Yes.
So my magic number is 5.
Okay.
And then I go from there. If I can keep from being voted out,
okay,
fine with me. I believe I can win a battle match.
Okay, I'm excited to see how you do.
Hope so.
You have very fun energy. I'm curious to see how it meshes with the cast. What is your background with reality TV? Do you like Big Brother, Survivor? Even I can get nervous at times. Big Brother, Survivor. What's your background? Is it just online reality games?
Literally, Big Brother, Survivor, yes. The Challenge, Amazing Race.
Yes. The whole gamut.
You name it. I'm here for it. I watch it. I remember having the Big Brother All-Stars like saved to our DVR at home, and then we got a new DVR and lost every single episode. I was a huge Howie fan, so when the double eviction, whenever Howie went home, like when I lost that.
How old were you when Howie went home?
Oh my gosh. Because
I'm like.
Like seven.
I was going to say, you had to be pretty young when Howie went home. Like, I mean, I don't know anybody that really liked Howie. I was ready for him to go.
Big boy.
Yeah. That's big boy. Yep. Yeah.
Jenny!
Yeah. All right, cool. Sequester, the game can change, as we talked about, from round to round. Let's talk about something positive. Is there anything that you saw in season two or even before that you thought worked really well, that you could play to your strengths, or that doesn't phase you at all as far as the twists go? What played well for you on television?
You know, I found a lot of people were getting frustrated with others of not really including their input into a conversation.
I'm thinking about Kim, yes.
Yeah. So, you know...
winner of season two, ladies and gentlemen.
I have to find that balance of, you know, listening to others, but also making sure that I at least give something too, you know? I don't want to just seem like the person who's just taking all this information without really giving them anything. Okay. I want to keep that to a minimum.
Right.
I want to receive more than, you know... All right, information out.
All right, cool. So you're more of a cerebral player. I will ask you this question. This is from Taryn Armstrong, who's going to be covering the show with me. Is there an optimal way to play Sequester? I mean, there are so many twists and turns, and as you said, the format is changing from round to round. But social game, to me, is still king, and if you have it on point, you're probably going to do okay. So is there a way to guard against being voted out or thrown into a battle match?
You know, I think a big part of Sequester is your mindset. So I am very much so the type of player that, like, if something doesn't really go my way, I get down on myself, or I get frustrated, panic a little, and then I kind of lose it. I have to make sure that, you know, if a vote doesn't go my way, if I lose my number one ally, that's okay. You know, I'm still in the game.
Like, thank you.
Lines change every round. Like, a different twist could shake up the game.
Okay.
So just remaining positive and keeping that mindset is what's important.
What do you fear most walking into the game? Is there anything that Sequesterbot, i.e. Audrey Middleton, could throw at you that would leave you in tatters by the end of the day?
Oh, my goodness. Seeing people that I don't get along with outside of Sequester.
Okay.
Like, if I have enemies out there...
Enemies?
Yeah.
People hate you?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe that. That sounds like fake news, Hunter.
Yeah, no.
All right. I saw something fun in your bio. I must ask you about this, because I'm such a perv. So, you can touch your head with your foot?
Oh, my God.
But you said it wasn't sexual, though.
No.
So, how is that not sexual?
No. So, I don't even remember how I like, caught onto it, but I remember jumping up and, you know, just...
Oh, yeah. I do that all the time. Yeah.
It's on a good day.
On a good day. All right, cool. Let's try to wrap it up. What about jury management? Is that really a thing? Like, you play online reality games.
Yeah.
Is jury management a thing? And if so, how are you going to combat a bitter jury?
I mean, it's definitely a thing.
Okay.
In online games, I've been told to be emotionally manipulative.
Okay.
So
own your shit?
What?
Own your shit.
Oh, own my shit.
Own your shit.
I try.
Yes.
I'm a hypocrite when it comes to it. It's okay for me to fuck you over, but I get butthurt whenever you fuck me over.
That is a common prevalent thing in reality TV gaming.
Jury management is key, but you have to make it there first.
Yes, you do.
So that's my main focus. I'll worry about the jury when I get there.
All right. Well, we're going to be watching to see if you do make it there,
Sweet.
Hunter. Put it here.
I appreciate it.
Go out there and win the money, all right?
Yeah,
all right.
So.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, Hunter. That's Hunter Ince, by the way. So what did you think of young Hunter here, Taryn? He's a young guy.
Yeah, it's funny that I queued up the battle match thing, because he was very, very confident about battle matches.
Yeah, but to be fair to him, I sort of led him into that, like, you know, like, you're not afraid of this, or, you know, you're here for it. And he's like, yeah, I can totally do that. So I don't know that I'm sure he wants to avoid it. He's certainly, he plays online reality games. I'm sure he knows, like, only something bad can happen to you in a battle match.
Yeah, well, I mean, basically he said his strategy was he needs to make it through the five votes so that that he can guarantee himself a battle match situation, because those are the only five votes where you're out, period.
Right.
So he's more concerned about the votes than he is about competing in a battle match, which is fair enough. That certainly battle matches, you at the very least have a 50% chance of staying in the game. I'd much rather be in a battle match than be just straight up voted out. But I definitely would be more concerned in general than I think he is about battle matches and wanting to avoid them if possible. he talked a lot about how he gets very upset when things don't go his way.
And that's a real thing, by the way. I happen to know, I've gotten a little tea from people. This is, they told me this before I interviewed him, that two things. Number one, he does get a little upset when things don't go his way in his online reality gaming days. And number two, this is one of the two people who know each other. Remember with that question I asked him, like, you know, what could Sequesterbot bring that would really set you back? And he's like, somebody who I don't like, somebody who I hate. Well, there is actually somebody on this cast who we're going to see later who he has history with, who he's played online reality games with, who he doesn't like at all. So I was actually playing with him there when I was like, oh, that's fake news, Hunter. They would never do that to you. But in my head, I'm like, oh my God, it's totally coming. So yeah, I don't know how he's going to react to that. And I have heard that he definitely can get in his own head when things don't go his way. He did seem like he was aware of that, though. But on the other hand, it does you no good if you're aware of it, if you're not able to put it into practice.
Yeah, honestly, for me, people that describe their own weaknesses without saying like, yeah, but I'm working on it, like that tells me that it's like really bad. Like okay. if you're like, you know, I tend to be pretty I get pretty heated sometimes when I know it's bad, but it's just who I am. Like that's really bad. Like that means that people have told them over and over, they've gotten past the point of denial, they've accepted it's who they are, they've maybe even tried to work on it but failed, and now it's just like it's deeply ingrained, and it's probably like very it hinders a lot of their, you know, whatever. I am deeply concerned about that. I think that the sort of like sore losership in the game is what will lose you a jury vote, even if you do make it there. I think that losing your cool is always going to hurt you. I think it's a little bit of why Cam lost the game. I think that there were a couple of moments where he lost his cool a little bit. And so I don't love that at all. He talked about like I'd want to get there, and I, you know, yeah, we'll worry about jury management later.
Yeah, it was definitely who cares kind of thing. Like, I'll deal with it when I get kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of things I am concerned about here. However, he does have experience with the game. I think that's good, and I think that he will probably be very fun to watch, but definitely not somebody I would, you know, put a lot of money on to win this thing.
I would put basically no money on him. This would be the guy like on the roulette layout I would throw like a dollar on just to like guard against the fact that he might actually like, you know, like back his way into some sort of what the F win kind of thing. But I don't have a lot of faith in Hunter here, especially like you're telling me he's going to win a jury vote. I don't think there's five people who are going to give him the win. So
yeah, that's yeah. No,
yeah. Girl. Okay.
All right. Next up is Jordan West.
Hey, everybody. Brent Wagamont here with another preseason interview from the cast of Sequester Season 3. We've been going at it all day long. We've got another contestant who says he's here to win the money. Why don't you tell everybody who you are, where you're from, and what you do?
Okay. My name is Jordan West. I'm 28 years old, and I'm from Lindenwald, New Jersey. Uh-huh. It's a small area, but it's South Jersey. Everybody from Lindenwald call me Jay West or Wild West, so feel free to call me whatever. I'm a volunteer fireman. I've been a volunteer fireman for 5 years, so I grew out the facial hair, try to, you know, fly under the radar. I won't tell nobody that because I always size up the area. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a great part of, you know, this game and all of the games. And right now I'm a tow truck driver, so that's actually great to the game because I meet people at the shittiest part of their day.
Yes.
I gotta fake it just to get a tip, and exactly. I get it, so yeah.
All right, so I went over your bio from your application, and the one thing that really jumped out at me was that you said that one of your hobbies is ranting on Instagram. And honey, I am the biggest ranter in the world. Like, people come on Rob's podcast, they're like, I want to hear another Brent rant, please. And I'm like, I can't force them to happen. They just magically happen whenever I want them to. So I'm glad to see that I have a kindred spirit in the ranting business for stupid shit that happens in the world when people make stupid moves on reality TV. Mm-hmm. So if I actually, so we're going to cover Sequester for Rob's podcast this season. I'm going to watch you, Jordan.
Okay.
And if you do stupid shit, I'm going to call you out for it. Are you prepared to take it?
I'm ready. I'm ready for all that. I'm like you said, I love to bash people and I love to make my rants. That's what I'm known for. So,
all right.
Yeah,
we can serve it back to me. Yeah, exactly. I'm here for it. All right. So let's talk about your history with reality TV. So is it somebody, or are you somebody who has long liked reality TV, like Survivor, Big Brother, Amazing Race, anything like that, and you found Sequester? Yeah. Or is Sequester more
more of an original love?
No, so I always loved reality TV, okay. And I loved Sequestered from the Rip when it first started.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I should apply to this because it's strictly game, you know, with the time crunch, but I've gotten to this later than the other shows. Like, I started watching The Challenge. That's what I originally started watching.
Right.
But then I became a Big Brother fan and the Survivor fan, and, you know, I just been addicted to all those, and then I started watching Aubrey season 17. That's when I started watching even Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that she even had this show, I'm like, whoa, I gotta watch it. And I've been watching it, and I'm like, yo, I can get on there. Strictly Game. It's like, I ain't really gotta be in the house too long.
Right.
I didn't know that how it was in the beginning, but, you know, it's just, it's fun.
That's why we are covering Sequester Season 3 for Rob as a podcast, because it's literally 20 nutcases in a house all fighting to win the money,
exactly, it's
all game, and we are totally here for that. We know that the game changes from round to round. Is there anything that you fear going into the house? Any twists along the way that you think, I really don't want to see that if I had my druthers?
Okay, yeah, I definitely fear going out first.
That's
a big fear.
Okay.
But
so there is a way to guard against that. Find an LOS, because Judd was going to go out first until he found an LOS.
And he backdoored. I mean, he messed it up for everyone.
Yeah, he did mess it up for everyone. Yes, when he decided to press the red button. Yeah. Yes. But if you can find an LOS or an immunity idol, as they would say in Survivor, you can protect yourself from getting voted off. So are you going to look for him?
I'm definitely going to look for LOSs. That's the type of game player I am. I'm a go getter.
You're aggressive.
Yeah, I'm aggressive. I'm going to make the game come to me, but I'm not going to make it obvious. If I get like a good social game and with the house, I'm going to try to fly under the radar, but I'm still going to look if I have just a tad bit of time, like 2 or 3 minutes. I'm going to try to do my size up. Like I said, I've been sized up the building already, so I'm trying to remember every little thing, but that's the type of player I am. I'm with it.
Cool. Well, you have a great energy about you. I think people are really going to like you. Going into the season, though, Sequester is a game that I've questioned whether or not you can really have an optimal strategy for it, because you can have your social game on point, but you don't know what's coming down the pike as far as the format of the game changing from round to round whenever they unveil whatever twist is happening that specific round, or if anybody presses the red button like Judd did and activates something. So how can you guard against that? What's your overarching strategy for this season?
Just like you said, you gotta go with the flow. But in my strategy is just to not to even stay with the numbers, to communicate with the people who's not with the numbers. So if it's always a Kim or a Jake that wasn't allowed in the room,
right?
I'm gonna let them know every little thing, but I'm gonna always give intel to the big majority of the group. And if I'm not even allowed in at one time, I'm gonna come in with a lie. So I gotta always be, you know, interesting and let people know what's going on. So I'm ready, man.
Okay. So you watched season 2?
Yes.
I am just a recent convert to Sequester, which is why I'm so about it now. Who was your favorite player in season 2? If you can name anybody.
Okay.
Yes.
I can definitely
name
someone. Yes. Obviously, I'm gonna say Judd. But I'm not, it's not obvious because, like, he played a good game to watch.
Ballsy,
you know?
Game.
Yeah. He made a fake LOS.
Yes.
And, you know, he put a target on his back. He called out players, but that's not the game. I mean, that's the game I'm gonna try to play, but if I don't have to play it like that, I won't. But Hamza, I feel like, I loved his game. When he was in a battle back and he was faking it with everyone.
So pissed.
About the battle back when he got back in the house. I loved that. I'm like, all right, so.
Yeah, he was talking about, like, vote for this one, but then, like, secretly, he's like, okay, let's go. Okay, cool,
yeah. But I like Hamza's game, but yeah, I'm all up in the air with
anybody who irritated the living fuck out of you in season 2.
Veronica.
Veronica! Veronica, I'm sorry. Dare you, Jordan?
I probably will love her, but Veronica, man, I mean,
you're gonna hear from Veronica on that, I tell ya. All right, so thank you. Last question here. I feel like I know this question, but are you somebody who takes into account jury management along the way? Is it like when you are voting, like if you make it to the jury phase of the game and you're voting people out, are you thinking about the way you're treating people as they are getting voted out of the game, or how you're treating them as you are beating them in a battle back match and sending them over to the jury if you're going to sit in the final 2? Is that something you consciously think about, or are you coming from the school where some other people might come from where they're like, look, I got to get to the final 2. If I get to the final 2, we'll see if they give me the money. I can't really help it.
No, I'm definitely thinking about jury management. That's important. This is part of the game, you know, to win it and to have a good relationship with the jury. But I'm going to try to play, I'm going to try to play ruthless in the beginning to the people that's not in the jury, you know, to shake them up so they're not playing their strategy. But so they can't be the jury guys.
Though. They can't be the jury.
They can't make it to jury. But once I get into jury, you know, I can show them the real Jay West.
Girl, bye to you. You're in pre-jury. He's going to treat you badly on the way out the door.
Exactly. If you're in pre-jury, I will not give a fuck.
All right. I like it. I'm here for it. Nah. Jordan, I am so excited to see you play this game.
Thank you.
You are excited to get it going. And we wish you all the best of luck.
Thanks a lot.
Clear their pal.
Thank
all right. Good luck. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody.
All right. Jay West. Wild West. Jordan West. What do you think of him, Taryn?
That was interesting. Right off the bat, I liked him.
I
got a good friendly vibe.
Yes.
And then I was like, he's ranting about people on the internet. That's weird. And then he was talking about, you know, the aggressive style of gameplay that he wanted to potentially adapt. He liked Judd and Hamza.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was like, I just don't know if that's the right way to approach it, especially from the beginning, especially for somebody that I think doesn't come off as shady immediately. Like, I think he comes off as a very, like, friendly, approachable guy. I think that he basically disregards that entire advantage that he brings in just by his demeanor if he's going to be playing so aggressively. However, by the end, I think I came a little bit back around where I do feel like he is... I think he's social enough that he might be able to pull it off to some degree. I think that as long as he's not just like completely like full on Judd the entire time in the first stage of the game, I think it can work. I think that I actually kind of like his idea of kind of pissing some people off at first and then in the back half kind of like settle down and try to make stronger connections. I feel like that could work out to a degree. I feel like there's some potential here. I think that he could completely crash and burn, but I also think that that he could do well. I think this is one of the more high variance players I've seen so far.
Yeah, I really liked Jordan. His smile was so infectious. I felt instantly at home talking with him. Such a great social atmosphere between the two of us. Yes, I hear what you say about the fact that he's talking about playing a big game, but I'm going to wager, and I don't know this, but I'm going to wager that that's sort of like me saying I love Dan Gieseling's game and I would love to play like him, and it wasn't that an amazing game to watch? Yeah, but I can never ever play like that. I mean, I just don't have the tools to play like that. I'm gonna guess that that's probably true here. Jordan does have the tools to play like Hamza or Judd. Jordan is a sweet, nice guy, and I feel like he's probably gonna play like a sweet, nice guy, and people are gonna enjoy his company, and they're not gonna think he's plotting too much. And even though he's talking about that, I just don't feel like that's his natural go-to. So I'm probably more thumbs up with Jordan. In fact, I felt like he was the best of the male interviews, because I felt like there was never a point in time interviewing him that I felt awkward or out of place talking to him. I felt like instantly he was like, okay, let's sit down and shoot the shit, you know? And I felt good about it.
Yeah. All right. I can see that. I can see that. All right. Next up is Dustin Schroeder. Dustin, what does he have to say?
Everybody, Brent back here with another interview for the cast of season 3 of Sequester. I am joined by this gentleman. You're going to tell everybody your name, where you're from, and why you love Sequester so much.
Hey, I'm Dustin. I'm 27. I'm from Calgary, Alberta, and can't wait to get in the house and just kind of get the game going. I'm mostly excited just to see how everything starts to adapt, because you know how everything changes
right.
Every season on every show, especially Sequester, and I can't wait to see... kind of meet everybody, actually, first and foremost.
Yeah, yeah. So that's gonna be fun. It makes more sense. I actually must have missed that you're from Canada, so it makes more sense now that you picked Jesse as one of the people who was your favorite person to watch on season 2.
Yeah, it was kind of mostly a
he's one of my favorite people too. Yes,
it's kind of a close to home thing where I was just like, hey, another Canadian.
Cool, excellent. You also picked Amanda too, and why is that?
Amanda, I just knew her from previously. I'd met her before.
Oh, okay. Right.
And I'd known her before, and I just already knew that she was going to be crazy. The antics were going to be up in the air there.
Right.
And so I knew that was going to be all over the place, because, I mean, if you did watch season 2, that was... there was some exciting moments.
She had a blast. Yeah. She was real the entire time. Her and V were my two favorite people to watch during season 2. If you're just there for entertainment-only purposes.
Oh, yeah.
I have to say. So tell everybody, like, well, what do you do for fun? Do you like reality TV, Survivor, Big Brother? Do you watch any of that stuff? I mean, or did you just, like, fall into Sequester and orgs in general?
See, and I used to watch a lot of online reality, not a lot of online reality game shows. I did a bit after my Big Brother stint. But watching Big Brother a lot as a kid,
yeah.
It was my mom got me into it season 1, and so we started
season
watching.
Season 1?
Yeah, so we were watching it. Like,
the Forgotten Season. Yeah.
Yeah, we were watching it from the very beginning, and then it just kind of teetered off, and then my interest kind of got picked back up once, like, Sequester and everything. I was on one of the online seasons,
right.
And it kind of got picked back up, but as of right...
I did hear that you played online Sequester. Mm-hmm. You are a character.
Yes.
I have heard.
yes. There was a time I spent on Sequester. I can't remember season 4 mm-hmm. I was, I believe, or season 6.
Mm-hmm.
I can't quite remember. But yeah, I was on online Sequester, and that kind of piqued my interest back into reality TV shows and stuff. And then getting back into it, I was like, oh my, we're on like season, what are they on? with Big Brother. Season
season 21. Yeah, we just wrapped up season 21 last night, actually.
Yeah, season 21. Yeah, and I was like, wow, that flies. Like, I've missed
a
lot.
All right, so I've been waiting to ask this question. So this is a multiple choice question. You watch season 2. Mm-hmm. This is a little shady question, but I really want to know the answer to this question. So it's like running a game show. Rob has a game show, right? All right. So who played the worst during season 2? And it's a multiple choice question. Now, you don't have to co-sign my narrative of these answers if you disagree with them, but you can tell me what you think. So choice number one is Colin. For standing out in the sun for 20 minutes in a 30-minute challenge, only to throw it and yet miss all of the strategy time. Two is Cindy for knowing that her own ally was going to get voted off again. If you watch Big Brother Canada, she voted off her own ally twice, for heaven's sake, and then she did it again in Sequester. And for the third choice, it is Hannah for revealing to Judd that she was voting him out, turning herself into a target, and then, what the fuck, out of nowhere, targeting her own allies for a battle match. So of those three lovely choices, who would you give the shadiest shade to?
I'd have to pick Cindy. Just because, I mean, everybody else, it happened to them, and it was like with Colin, like, that was just kind of shitty luck.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think that's shitty luck. But with Cindy, that was like you said, it happened again.
Yep.
Like, this is her going. Oh, I shot myself in the foot and then shooting herself in the foot again on another show.
Yes, my colleague Taryn Armstrong actually watched Sequester season 2 after me, after I, like, basically haggled him into, I'm like, would you like this podcast about the show? Because I really love the show and I think you would love the show. And he's like, let me take a look at it. He starts watching it and he was totally addicted. And the one thing he wrote back to me was, I can see Cindy hasn't changed. Not at all. So, old habits die hard, I feel like. So let's talk about the twist. Sequester isn't like your average reality show in that the format changes from week to week and round to round. So, what are the twists that you are most excited about, or ones that you are most afraid of? Up to you.
It's those twists where it's if one person picks. Like, if you've seen season 2,
season
2. There's the flip vote that, like, Judd, he presses the button.
Mm-hmm.
It's those ones that really worry me, because I'm just like, guys, if we all just play it safe and just don't do this, like, everything will be normal. But if somebody really wants to kind of flip the house on its head, then... it's a twist like that.
For those of you who haven't watched season 2, there was a round where they could press a green button and a red button, and if all of the contestants playing, if one person pressed the red button, then that would activate the twist where the lowest number of votes got voted off instead of the highest number of votes got voted off. So Judd was the person who pressed the red button that round. He was the only person who did, actually. Would you press the red button if you felt like you were in dire straits? Because I feel like that Judd felt he was in dire straits having been voted out the previous round or so, but only to be saved by an LOS, and then he felt like he really needed to shake up the game, and that's why he pressed the button.
I feel like if I was in dire straits, of course I would flip the vote like that, but I think the key is just to not let yourself get in that position in the first place.
All right, well, this is the first season, like I said, that RHAP is covering Sequester. You know, I often get into it with people on social media for calling them out for their terrible moves. I just want to know if you are going to be somebody who I can respect at the end of the game, or are you somebody who I'm going to have to come for? That's what I want to know, Dustin.
I think I'm going to be somebody that you can respect at the end of the game.
I'll hold you to that.
Yeah. Send me a message after.
All right, cool. I have a couple more questions. The ordained minister thing. That I saw that in your bio, and that jumped out at me, because my dad is an ordained minister. He's been a Southern Baptist preacher for, like, 30 years. So how did this happen? When did you become an ordained minister? That's a big deal.
So, yeah, so mine's a little less
I imagine
serious.
So.
Yes. Yeah, ours was a bet between me and my roommate on who could get a better title. And so I've got ordained, I'm an ordained minister through the Universal Life Church.
Okay.
And he's a baron through, I can't remember, there's a small island where you can pay money to be a baron or a count.
It sounds shady, Dustin. I don't know. Yeah.
It is. So I am, like, I've got a certificate and everything through the Universal Life Church to be ordained. Unfortunately, in Canada, there's a lot more stuff you have to go through to actually officiate a wedding.
Freaking Canadians. Yeah. All right, yeah. Well, Dustin, it has been a pleasure talking with you. I know that all the fans out there in RHAP land are wishing you the best of luck. All the best, man.
All right, we'll
good
chat
luck.
To you soon.
All right. Dustin Schroeder, what did you think of him, Taryn?
I just don't feel great about Dustin.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think he will probably be fun to watch. I think that he's probably going to be making exciting moves. Again, I like that he has experience with the game, but just like socially, I feel like it was an awkward interview. I never felt like either of you were at ease.
No, never. I was trying. I really was. I was like, come on, let's just sit down and shoot the shit. And I'm here for you. And, you know, I'm just trying to, like, pump the show up and get people interested in you and the show. And I felt like I was pulling teeth, Taryn, to try and get something out of him. So hopefully he plays different than how he interviewed. And that's certainly possible. But I wasn't feeling very great about his interview. I felt like it was just so awkward and I also felt like that even amongst the awkwardness, there was a little bit of scheming going on behind him. And I can't, like, that's like a terrible combination. Like, who's going to want to keep that around? Like, at least if you're scheming, at least be personable like Brayden was. But I felt like there was no personality coming out of Dustin. It was just almost like a blank. And I was trying to, like, get something out of him and then trying to get him excited. Like, look, okay, let's be real. I told these people, I mean, like, actually, I didn't tell these people. Audrey told these people, you know, Robin's podcast is coming down to do interviews in person. This is a really big deal for us. So try and put your best face on and, like, you know, do a good interview. And I feel like there were most people who did do that. And I felt like him and one other guy really didn't do that, where they were just, they really just couldn't be bothered to try a little bit harder in the interview. And, you know, that's how I felt coming out of it. Sorry, Dustin.
He reminds me a little bit of Kilby from season 2.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah, like experience with the game, like, I think, you know, like, wants to play hard, but, like,
but
like, it doesn't have the I guess Kilby had some allies, but, like,
not many.
The fact that Kilby's, like, the closest ally took him out of the, you know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of connection that he had. I feel like that might be a similar situation for Dustin.
Yeah, this was probably one of the worst interviews that I had. And I'm sure Dustin's a sweet guy. I'm sure he's going to have a blast playing Sequester. I wish him all the best, but girl, bye. It wasn't very good. Glass not half full with me.
All right. Next up is Kevin Grannon.
All right.
That's how you pronounce it.
This should be fun, Taryn.
Hey, everybody, it's Brent Wagema here with another edition of the preseason interviews from Sequester Season 3, and I am joined by another contestant who thinks he's going to win the money at the end. Kevin, why don't you tell everybody out there what your full name, where you're from, and what you do?
Awesome. Well, my name's Kevin Grannon. I'm 21. I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. Right now, I'm a student at Northern Kentucky University. I do have experience in the card industry. I've been doing that for a little under 2 years.
But the car industry or the card industry?
Car. Cars.
Car
we're
industry.
Driving.
Okay, we're driving.
We have vehicles. We're
yes.
selling them.
Okay.
Putting them on the road, making
right.
customers happy.
So you have a good relationship with your customers where you get them to buy something and they listen to you?
You persuade them,
okay.
yes.
Okay. All right. I'm here for that. So are you going to incorporate that into your Sequester game?
I think that's a very important key into
okay.
it. You got to be able to put people on your page, and you're basically selling yourself here, too.
Okay.
You know what? You want people to trust you just like your customer would be able to trust you.
Okay. Now, not to bury the lead here, but I have looked at your application, and I must say that while you are very smashing in terms of looks, you have some interesting pictures with the senator from my home state, Mitch McConnell. Are you a Make America Great Again guy? What is this? Tell
yes.
me the real tea.
All right.
You can give me the real tea.
Definitely.
Yes.
2016, voted for Donald Trump.
Yes.
I am not ashamed of that in
okay.
one aspect.
My parents also voted for Donald Trump, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
Well, they're great American patriots.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they are. They like to think they are.
but no, I think that's a really good thing.
Okay.
A lot of people think that's a very controversial subject these days, but I like to look at a lot of the policy more than just what, you know, Donald Trump himself says.
Okay.
If you look at our country, we have historic unemployment levels for Black Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, women unemployment as a 52-year
mm-hmm.
low. We have more jobs in this country right now than people looking for jobs. We have tax cuts and deregulation. Our economy is booming right now.
Okay, so I'm going to stop you right there, only because I know, and I've heard all this from the Trump campaign before. Not that it isn't true, but I've heard, you know, there's a spin, you can spin things either way you want to look at it. What I want to know is, the stuff that you're telling me now, is this something that you potentially think is going to come up in the House at a later time when you're just shooting the shit with the House guests, or?
Oh,
is...
it's definitely about to come up. So
okay.
Going into a little bit of strategy, because it plays into my strategy.
Okay, I want to hear this. This is what I want to hear, yes.
My first day, I can't go in there, you know, blasting that I love Trump, because
okay.
in today's society, a lot of people just want to label you as that. And they want to use that to target me, is what I would think.
Okay.
So once I finally get my grounding in the alliance that I can trust, I'm going to come out and wear my Trump shirt that
okay.
I brought with me. So it's definitely something that's going to shake up the House a little bit. So
okay.
I want to see where people lie. And it could be my closest alliance that ends up stabbing me in the back for that decision.
Okay. Now, what I have said to various people who, like, I couldn't talk to very many people about the cast, but there were a few select people. And I said that, you know, this game moves at a blistering pace. It's literally like 5-6 days. You're voting out or eliminating 4 people a day. And, you know, there's 2 rounds a day with a battle match and a vote. So it's moving fast. I think by the third day you're going to be relatively close to the jury and the money, and you're like, well, why the hell am I going to wear this stupid shirt if I'm that close to winning? So are you going to prove me wrong, or are you still going to wear it no matter what?
I think I'm going to wear it no matter what,
okay.
because at the end of the day, I'm proud of my president. I'm
okay.
proud of our country.
All right, well, I hope you're proud of your Sequester game by the end of this, because if you get to the end, you're going to have to get past the jury, and you're going to have some semblance of a jury management. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about when I talk about this? Because I know that you didn't know who I was, and you don't really know what Rob's podcast is, so that tells me that you don't, like, live and breathe reality television. So I'm not sure you know exactly what I mean when I say jury management. Or you could prove me wrong. Tell me what it is.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't necessarily know if I had to give you a guess, though.
Yes.
I think it was just managing or seeing who I want to be in the jury that's going to end up helping me if I'm at the end.
It's not just that. It's also about how you treat them on the way out the door. So let's say you make it to the final two chairs. All of those people who are sitting on the jury are people that you had a hand in voting out. Mm-hmm. That you had a hand either voting out or eliminating through a battle match. Or one of your allies did. How are you going to own that, and how are you going to treat them on their way out? Are you going to say, you know, like that, see you later, girl, bye? Or are you going to be like, treat them with a little bit more compassion and good sportsmanship to make them feel good about potentially voting for you at the end, Kevin?
You know, there's a reason they got voted out in the first place. So I'll say bye to them. I don't see any reason to be mean or anything across those lines.
Okay.
Because I do need that, but there's a reason that they're getting kicked off at that point.
Okay. All right. Enough of he said what he said, I tell you. Survivor, Sequester has various twists along the way. Is there anything you're particularly fearful of besides revealing your Make America Great Again shirt?
I think if there's one thing, it's when you have to get the least amount of votes.
Uh-huh. I've heard this before. Yes.
That's definitely something that's scary. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely down to self-vote myself if it's going to propel my game.
Now, I saw two people in that twist in Season 2 who voted for themselves and then ended up in the tie because they voted for themselves.
Well, they didn't have their numbers.
And they didn't have their numbers, exactly. Yes.
I think I'm going to have... I'm pretty confident in my ability to make sure I have those numbers. I think the people...
I'm confident that you're confident.
I think the people from last season really did not do a good enough job assuring those votes. They thought it, but they didn't really push at the end.
Yeah, Dan Ginsburg thought he had 9 votes coming his way.
That was ridiculous. They're crazy.
Who did you like from Season 2, Kevin? Let's talk about some fun stuff. Who did you like from Season 2 that put a smile on your face?
I think Judd put a smile on his face.
Yeah.
I see him a little bit with me, you know, just wanting to be out there.
I see the similarities.
Creating a little bit of mayhem throughout.
Yeah.
I think Jake played his game well, too.
Okay. And that was from your area?
Yes.
Cincinnati?
Yes, that was very true. We both grew up in the same area, which is awesome.
All right, cool. Anything else you want to tell us besides spin from the Trump campaign?
Hey, if that's how you want to word it, that's totally fine.
All right.
I'm going to keep quiet there.
All right, sounds good. Well, Kevin, notwithstanding your political affiliations, I have to say I wish you all the best of luck in the world. I am excited to see how you turn out. If you actually come home with the money, I will be floored, but I will be so here for it just to watch it all play out. So all the best of luck
Thanks,
in the world,
sir.
And I really do mean that. And I'm so psyched to watch our audience watch you in the end and see how they respond to you.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. All I'm right. really super pumped.
Cool. Everyone, enjoy. I'm here with the...
Okay, so here's the thing. Kevin... I'm trying to meet you halfway, man, but I feel like Kevin's already written the script for him for his own show. Like, Kevin wants to do what Kevin does. So Kevin's decided, okay, I'm not going to tell people anything about me for the first couple of days. Okay, I'm going to get to know people, trying to let them quote unquote get to know me, and then on the third day, it's like as God said, on the third day I showed them my Make America Great Again shirt and wear it proudly, and then, well, I guess they're probably going to vote me off then, but I hope they don't. Like, I feel like he's writing his own victim story at this point. Like, he knows what's going to happen if he puts that shirt on the third day. Like, most people don't like the president, especially people who are younger people, who there's a lot of in Sequester, who play this game. Like, it doesn't, I don't buy what he's telling me. I feel like it's just a sham where he's like, okay, I'm going to, you know, it's their fault if I wear this shirt and then they vote me out, where I feel like he wants to play the victim and I'm just not here for him playing the victim, Taryn.
He's very car salesman-y in that he has a script that it felt like. I think you're right about that. And he did not, he was not very reactive in the conversation. He was not picking up on your cues whatsoever. Like you very clearly,
them.
You were like just completely, like you were dumping on the guy completely. And, you know, maybe he was just being as polite as can be, but it felt like he was almost oblivious to it. And like, you brought up his political affiliations and he went into his scripted, like, this is the explanation for that. Let me give you a political, you know, rant right now, which is just contextually, it's not the right place for it, which again tells me he was not picking up on the cues and it did not know what he was supposed to be doing in that situation, which does not bode well for his ability in the game. if he plans on making a political statement in the game, that's obviously going to be detrimental to his game. He's focusing on something. Even if it wasn't, honestly, even if it wasn't Trump, if it was, if he went in like, hey, I want to go in and be like a Bernie bro.
Yeah, right?
Like, you know, like whatever it is, like, I want to go in and be like, Hillary Clinton is my woman. Like, if you're focused on making some kind of statement politically or like opening up some, you know, whatever part of your life, then you're not focused on the game. And that, I think, is going to be very detrimental. I do not feel great here.
I do not feel great either. Kevin was actually the one guy who I actually flew down with on the plane. I actually figured out through Audrey that there was a contestant who was in my area who was on the same plane that I was on a Thursday morning when I flew down to interview the contestants, and it was Kevin. So I got to talk with him a little bit before I actually got to interview him, and in that time he seemed very personable and very fine. But then when the interview started, it was like he was a whole nother person. So I don't know how he – basically, I didn't know what to take seriously from Kevin. If he doesn't do what he says he's going to do, if he doesn't like pull out the Make America Great Again shirt, he could probably do pretty well because I enjoyed his company when I was talking to him. But if he seems dead set on doing this, then like what's going to happen then. I really feel like that the cast will have no other choice but to vote him out at that point. And he just wants to wear it like a badge of honor. So I'm not about to co-sign any validity to that.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like he could be a personable guy, but if he, I think, my guess would be that in the interview he was in salesman mode, and when you were just chatting with him, he was just being himself. And I think if he's being himself, he probably is capable of making connections and doing well. But I definitely think that it seems to me like he wants to be in salesman mode when he's in that house, when he's playing the game, because that's where he finds success with his work. And I think that he will maybe be surprised to see that it does not correlate to the game.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Next contestant.
Next up is Ty Howell.
Yeah, this is the second half of... go ahead, sorry.
The next person who's going to play, why don't you tell everybody who you are, where you're from, and what you do?
Okay. My name is Ty Howell. I'm a bartender from Athens, Georgia.
Okay.
I also manage a few restaurants there, or have managed a few restaurants there. I'm originally from Northern Indiana.
Work!
Yeah.
I graduated from Northern Indiana.
South Bend, or?
Norwell High School, but I went to Plymouth. Oh, okay. I went to Plymouth High School for a little while.
Okay. I went to Concord.
I know, yeah, Concord. Yeah. I competed against people from Concord High School.
Very cold up there.
Oh, God, it's a small world. All right, so why Sequester? What do you love about this crazy game?
I like Sequester because it's more fan-created, yes. So it's fun. It's all the good things about the reality TV shows that you want to go and do, and none of the bullshit that
yes.
you want to do.
That is honestly the truth about why I decided to start covering Sequester and begged Rob to let me cover it, was because, like, I'm like, these are 20 freaking nutcases in a house. There are no wallpapers. There's no Annalises, no Jessicas, no people that are just literally floating by. There are people who are gamers who are literally going for it, and I'm really psyched to finally cover the season. You are a Sequester alumnus online, correct? Or
I'm not.
You're not. You did not play online. Did you ever play online games before?
I have. Okay. I played some in kind of preparation for, because I knew I was going to apply for this season. I'd been contacted to play the first two seasons and just couldn't because of work and whatnot. And I knew I was going to have time around this time. So I played a few games online starting in February within the community.
All right.
Just to kind of like get my reputation out there, I guess. And they were fun. I never really did well, but.
So tell me how you're feeling today. Are you feeling nervous? Excited? What's going on?
I'm not feeling nervous. I'm just like anxious. Like let's go.
You want to go?
Yeah.
Let's move in.
I want to meet everyone. Yes. I want to like see like size everyone up. Mm-hmm. See like who I'm going to get along with, who I'm not going to get along with. Just hit ground running.
All right. Let's talk about your strategy. So Sequester is a more thinking man's game. It's not exactly like Survivor or Big Brother. There are twists in the format of the game. Changes from round to round, and you have to use your strategic acumen to navigate your way through that. So what's your plan, Ty?
I don't really have a plan.
I like the honesty.
I never have a plan, really, in all facets of my life. Right. It's kind of like...
is it adaptability? That's what you have to have here?
Yeah, it's really going to depend on the other kind of people who are in this game and what... Each round is kind of different in this game, so I can't... I feel like if I overthink it and go into this game, like, with a strategy, like, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to shoot myself in the foot, because if I stick to the strategy and I'm throwing something else, I'm not going to be in the right mindset to, like, move around that. So I'm just going to just be myself and see who I get along with, and hopefully that can get me as far as possible.
All right. Well, you talked about the way the game changes from round to round. Obviously, every twist is different. Some are more subtle. Some are more dramatic. I've been asking people what is their least favorite twist, but let's talk about your most favorite twist from Season 2. Is there anything that you really thought played well and that you would like to participate in and
I loved
be threatened by?
You know, I kind of love the date night round.
Preach, honey.
Yeah.
I loved date night.
Because it's just, like, forcing people who kind of hate each other to have to talk strategy with each other, and it's like maybe see if there's something the two of them can agree on and move forward with that. Or just like I'm particularly thinking of the confrontation between Kim and Hamza. Just
yes,
like,
that is exactly what I thought.
Sit
too.
In a room together and like talk strategy, and how Hamza was shitting his pants because he just tried to get her out of the game, and she's just sitting there like, "I got you now. You can't escape."
Exactly. So for those of you who don't know, date night was a twist where I think there were 8 people remaining in the game at the time, and they all went on 5-minute dates with each other. But once you went on a date with somebody, you would never see them again, so you couldn't talk any more strategy. So if I went on a date with Ty at the beginning, and we thought of, you know, hey, we're gonna vote out, you know, Jordan, then later on down the line, other people might have other ideas, and by then you might have changed your mind. So it created a really fun dynamic that I thought played really, really well on television. Let's talk about the jury. We've seen a couple seasons of Big Brother where the jury did not necessarily vote for the person who was widely perceived to be the best player. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you understand what jury management is, and is that a real thing to you?
No. I mean, my goal is always to just get to the end and then just explain to the jury how I got there and if they want to give me the win or not.
So first things first.
Yeah, first things first is get to the end.
Okay.
If you're too busy, and I'm not really an ass kisser. I'm just not.
I can see that.
So,
you keep it real, though.
Yeah.
I feel like your authenticity will serve you well.
I try to.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I try to be nice to everybody.
Yeah.
I don't kiss their ass.
I'm here for it. I feel like people can smell it when you're kissing their
ass.
Yeah. Especially if you're not into it.
No.
So we saw during Season 2 that a lot of people, especially post-jury, in my opinion, were reluctant to lie. Thank you. I might have somebody over here giving me time so I don't go for too long in these interviews. Would you lie if you had to? And is it something that, a lot of people wouldn't, in my opinion, in Season 2. They were like, I don't want to lie because I don't want to piss people off as they're walking out the door. I'll just tell them straight to their face I'm voting for him. But I felt like that was a risky call.
It depends on the person. Like, there's someone who's not going to be that pissed off if you lie to them because they understand the game. And there's people, more emotional people who maybe you had a close bond with that if you lie to, it's really going to hurt them. So you gotta make that judgment call when the time comes. There's gonna be some people it's gonna be very easy for me to lie to, and there's gonna be some people who's like, I probably shouldn't lie to them.
Okay. Last question. I saw in your bio, favorite player of Season 2, the confessional queen herself, who I'm living for.
Yes.
Rachel.
Yeah.
Tell me why Rachel was so freaking great and why you were entertained by her.
Because she's not up her own ass. Like, she knows her own faults. She knows, like, when she does something bad in the game.
Yes.
And she's not like trying to act like she knows everything that's going on. And I found that endearing, and that with her sense of humor, and, like, she really did have her finger on the pulse of the game. She knew, like, who we're working with who.
Mm-hmm.
She's fucking hilarious. Like,
she really is.
It's like some of the stuff she said.
Stank
like,
ho yeah, pussy.
That, like, the whole Judd's, like, house arrest thing with his LOS. Like, I was dying laughing at that. Like, I don't know. She just seems like a person I would get along with, so.
Me too. And Rachel, if you're out there, call me. All right, so Ty, honestly, I wish you the best of luck. Hey, everybody, this is...
All right, Ty Howe. What'd you think of Ty, Taryn? I definitely have some thoughts on him.
He was interesting. I think again, he's more one of the more low key people that I felt like you talked to. I think that will serve him well. So he's the guy that knows
Hunter.
Hunter.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Do you know what the history is?
I don't know what the history is exactly. I just know that they absolutely hate each other. That's what I've heard. That they played some online reality games and that they really don't like each other. That's what I have heard. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to come of that. But who knows? You know, as he said in the interview with me, he's not an ass kisser. And he certainly wasn't with me. He was one of my first couple of interviews that I did, and while I certainly was a little bit nervous, I felt like that Ty was, with all due respect to him, especially at the beginning, really putting in like the most minimal effort possible to do the interview. Like when I shook his hand and said, "Hi, I'm Brent. You know, we're going to be doing an interview." He was like, "Okay, cool." It was just like he was not thrilled to be there at all. Definitely got better as the interview wore on. Once I talked about Rachel at the end and her confessionals, I felt like he lit up a little bit more. But that wasn't really enough for it to save me in my eyes. I not to belabor this point, but like they knew that I was coming down to do these interviews. Like, just put on a happy face for 5 to 7 minutes. It's not like it's that long. He talked to me after and said that he wasn't ready for my energy. But if you're not ready for my energy, you're certainly not going to be ready for the people's energy who live in this crazy house, like the 20 nutcases that Audrey's put in there. So I have to say that it's probably thumbs down for me with Ty.
Yeah, well, I thought it was interesting that he went out and played some online reality games in preparation for this, which I think would be useful for the experience. But he wanted to do it to get his reputation out there, which I think could also be valuable if you are giving off a certain reputation in preparation for a game. Like, for instance, if you want to make friends with people who might be cast for the show and come off as somebody who's very loyal and steady and so on and so forth, then that could work in your benefit. But it seems like all it's done is made him an enemy for the show. So it seems like that's really backfired. He said he hadn't done even particularly well in any of those games. So yeah, doesn't inspire much confidence.
Yeah, you could tell like a minute and a half into the interview when he's like, well, I'm not really an ass kisser and I don't like to do that sort of thing. I'm like, well, that's kind of what this is about. Like, you have to kiss some ass to make people not look at you and feel like you're plotting against them. If you're giving people the stink eye all the time, then people are going to think that you're coming for them.
Yeah, again, when people list their own faults.
I know.
I feel like I said this all the time before Big Brother 21 too, where I said when people list their good quality, when they have to say that they're like smart or kind or a good guy or whatever, it's usually not true. I feel like it's the opposite. When you list your faults, it's probably true and then magnified to a higher degree. So that's not a good sign. I think the fact that he's low key will help him, but I do not know how his interactions with Hunter will go and what that will do for his game in the early days. I think that he could, if he survives that initial Hunter thing, kind of survive for a while. I do have a hard time seeing him win over a jury and just in general, you know, winning a lot of allies to his cause doesn't exactly seem to be his forte. So not super positive here.
Yep, I agree.
All right, last one on the list here, Zach.
All right.
This is Brent Wagamot from Rob Has a Podcast. We are here interviewing the cast of Sequester Season 3, and I'm here with somebody who intends on winning the money. Zach, why don't you tell everybody who you are, your full name, right, what you do, and where you're from?
All right. My name is Zach. I am originally from Chicago, Illinois. I now live in Denver. Okay. I'm 28 years old, and I work in operations for Amazon.
Okay, so the only thing I really got from your application was that you play football, little track and field, you're really into sports, and you have a somewhat definitive strategy on how you're going to play this game. So why don't we talk a little bit about that?
All right. So, I definitely have a strong athletic background.
Right.
Played football since I was young. Got to play through...
I can't tell. You look.
I've been putting on weight before the show.
You look great. I don't want to put a target on my back. God. Yes.
I played football and ran track through college. I now try to stay fit and athletic through doing long distance running.
Okay.
So recently I've completed my first marathon, did a 25K trail run, and attempted a 50K. Didn't go so well, but I tried.
All right.
So I continue to do that just to kind of stay competitive with that in my gameplay. It's something, obviously, it's hard to hide with staying physically fit, but like, I want to use more of my social aspect for sure.
Okay.
I feel like I have a very strong social game, and I say that for a couple reasons. I used to be in the fitness field. One of the things I really strive on is when I had my own fitness company is that I had a very high closing rate. I had about a 90% closing rate.
All right.
So 9 out of 10 people really wanted to work with me and kind of connected with me, which is something...
If you can get 9 out of 10 people in Sequester to agree with you, I feel like you're probably going to be doing pretty well.
I hope so. I connected the wrong way.
Well, let's talk about Sequester and reality TV in general. So did you become just a fan of reality TV since you were younger and like Survivor and Big Brother and that kind of thing, and you just kind of fell into Sequester? Or was Sequester kind of its own special entity that you discovered and you took a liking to?
Yeah, so my brother and sister and I have been really big fans of Big Brother for a long time.
Okay.
It kind of keeps us together.
Yes.
And, you know, it kind of also pulls us apart.
All right.
So we pick our favorites, and it kind of, you know how it goes from there.
I know that life. Yes.
We all have our favorites, and we all want to see certain people to win. But, I kind of got into Survivor not too long ago. I watched a couple seasons.
Okay.
And then I have auditioned for Big Brother a few times.
Okay.
And they said
no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Idiots.
Freaking idiots. Okay.
They'll regret that. So a few times I've met a lot of people networking through all the auditions, and one of the people that I auditioned with tried out for the show and hit me up and said, hey, you should really check Sequester out
Okay.
and try out.
And you're here.
And it worked out. He's sitting at home, and I'm here. So.
Oh, wow. Well, that's
yeah,
crazy.
Well, for others I know. I don't know.
Okay, you don't know. That's true. That's true. That's true, too. And I don't know either, so, because I have no idea who you're talking about. But the thing about Sequester is that it's not exactly like Survivor or Big Brother in terms of, you know, majority doesn't necessarily rule from round to round. Not only does your social game need to be on point, but you also have to navigate the twists that are coming your way. How are you going to deal with that? And is there an optimal strategy to play Sequester in a way where you can navigate the twists and turns and the changes in the format in the game and also survive?
I think it's a great question. One of the ways I think I'm going to handle that is my adaptability. With the current job and position I have now, working with Amazon, I work at a very fast pace. I work with a lot of people and a lot of change very fast. So it makes me think quickly on my toes. Hopefully, I can anticipate the changes that are coming quickly here.
Okay.
Because there, I can kind of anticipate some of them. Here, I have no idea. It's going to come out of left field. So
right.
I hope I can just kind of make the right connections and have people pull me with them to steer the right way.
All
right,
so you're a recent convert to Sequester, but I have to believe you watched season 2, yes?
I did.
Okay, anybody jump out that you either thought was strategic mastermind or at least entertaining that you enjoyed watching on your television?
Ooh, oh man, that is a tough one to answer.
Yes.
You know, I think there's quite a few. I think the point of the game makes a big difference on who you follow.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a name I would directly throw out to say. Okay. I'd say I like rewatching it and kind of focusing in on individual people and seeing what their strategy is.
Okay.
And what took them to that point and what got them out.
Okay, sounds cool. So I know you also watched the end of it. Kim beat Cameron by a vote of 5-4. I've asked a few people this. Do you think that the right person won at the end there? And if so, why?
Ooh, I think Cam played a really strong game towards the end, and that's what really brought it so close. Kim did stick to her guns. She said she was going to be honest, and she was. Like, she was loyal to the people that she was there, and she played the game she wanted to.
Right.
And, you know, to answer... Yeah.
Don't be fancy fencerton, Zach. I need an answer.
yes. I will stop beating around the bush. Yes, I think she should have won.
Okay, sounds good. So anything else that you are worried about coming down the pike of Sequester and Sequester bots and anything that they might throw at you? What's your worst nightmare walking into the house in a couple hours?
Ooh, I'd say I've really contemplated my own gameplay. I think it's one of those things that's really hard to just kind of strategically stick with because you don't know who you're going to meet and you don't know the personalities you're going to be around. So I think that's one of the things that's been kind of driving me back and forth is playing out scenarios, but obviously nothing's happened yet, so I shouldn't even be putting, you know, running thoughts through my head.
Okay.
So I think that's something that really ends a lot of people's games, is they overthink things before they even happen, and I want to avoid doing that. And, you know, giving the wrong information. I mean, it's a small house.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I can get in on enough conversations to know what's going on.
Okay, cool. Last question. So I'm going to give you two choices. You tell me which is your preferred strategy in the game. You could have a big alliance, like a 9-person alliance, like Colin did in season 2, or you could have a solid final 2 with one other person. Which one do you think is going to take you further in the game?
I'd say solid final 2.
Yeah?
Right off the bat, I think one of the things I've seen, you know, watching these games a lot is that those guys who really take charge and try to build those big alliances, they nip at each other and it's too much room for error. It's a great thing to kind of poke your head in for a bit, but that final 2 is going to take you way farther. It could allow you to flip the house and it could allow you to make a lot of changes and stronger moves, more alliances, and yeah, I just see the big alliances fail too many times, so it's something I don't want to be involved in.
Yeah, judging from the outside, and my word is not gospel, I would say I'd probably err on the side of what you said as well, having a final 2 with someone who I knew I could trust, because I feel like 2 people together with a common enemy can do a lot of damage in this game. So Zach, it has been a pleasure talking with you. You have a lot of great, fun energy, and I'm excited to see what happens as far as you play this game later on today.
So
good luck
it.
To you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. All
right. Zach with a K, Taryn. What do you think of him?
He seems fine. He seems like he's going to be a solid sort of player. I think that's going to work well for him. I think that it's going to be hard to look at him as a huge threat. You know, he says he's physical. I don't know how physical he looked in person, but as a long distance runner, you don't usually look very physical. You don't usually have a ton of muscle, and so I think that he doesn't look very intimidating, and I think that will work well for him. And then just like his overall demeanor, his personality does not come across as very threatening. He seems just kind of like a again solid guy who wants to find somebody that he can be loyal to. I think that will, like I said, I think that will work well for him for a while. I think that if he made it to the end, he's certainly likable enough to win. in a field of like shady, overplaying, threatening kind of guys, I think that he will do well. I, having seen all of the guys now, I do think that you are correct, that I think the women are likely to find more success in this game than the men in general. But I do think that he could do well here, depending on how things shake out.
Yeah, I agree. I really felt like Zach was warm and personable, and I never felt like there was an ounce of shadiness or scheming behind him when I was interviewing him. If he carries that over to the house, I feel like that they're really going to enjoy his company. And you're right, he wasn't physically imposing in person, but he does seem physical, obviously enjoys sports, and I feel like that he's the full package. You know, as long as he can keep his head above water, I feel like he could probably go the distance here, especially when, you know, not to state the obvious, but I feel like the women were so strong and the men, by most accounts, were so weak that he's one of the few strong men. And, you know, if they take out a bunch of, you know, idiot guys along the way, and then there's, you know, a bunch of women and just a few guys, and it never goes quite that scripted, but it, generally that's what I'm talking about. I feel like they're probably going to keep him around and start looking at themselves, the women, if they have any sort of a working relationship together. So I anticipate good things about Zach. I'd say probably like top six, top five, but I wouldn't call him my winner.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say like the full package. I would love to have seen more strategy from him, being a more cerebral player in that package, I think would be great. I think my fear for him is that he's going to spend the game being directed by other people, and that that his fate will not be in his own hands, and that, you know, I think he's capable of winning, but I don't know how effective he'll be at ensuring that he will get there, therefore how much respect he might or might not have from the jury is certainly a thing. And I could easily see him being picked off somewhere along the line, or even, you know, being in a spot where, you know, in the finals, he is not bold enough to make a move to get himself down.
That's probably true.
End.
Yeah, we talked about that before, how the sequester rewards the bold. I never really got bold from Zach, but I got personable and nice, and that can go a long way in a field of gamers.
If he finds a very, very capable partner to play with, I think that is going to be key for him. If he's then able to make it down to the end with either that partner who people are mad at, or somebody else who has not played as successfully or is not as likable, then that can be how he wins the game, based on this, you know, very preliminary read of him and everyone else. Very, very preliminary. They're often, you try to judge people on these pregame interviews. You're often very wrong, but we'll have to wait and see here.
Yeah, I always like to remind myself that during Big Brother 21, Nicole was picked last during the draft that we did amongst the four of us that Rob won. She was actually number 16.
I listened to it back, and actually had a pretty spot on read about her, even though I didn't pick her. I was actually pretty proud of myself there.
Yeah, good. All right. Well, that's the guys, and you heard the girls earlier. So what do you think overall, Taryn? Pretty good cast.
Yes, I'm very excited. You know, I'm certainly lower on the prospects of the men in terms of their win equity, but I think there are a lot of very fun characters here from the guys. I think the women, there were a couple of fun characters, and then a lot of them that I just liked personally and thought would do well. If there's three aspects, there's, you know, how well they are, how good they are as characters, how good they'll do in the game, and how much, like, I just like them, the women were a lot of like, I like them and I think they're going to do well. And the men were a lot of like, oh, they're going to be good characters. I think that's it's a good combination. It's good to have all three. You know, obviously the liking is very individual and personal for every individual who's watching, but as long as you have a variety of characters and a lot of people who will be fun to watch and capable of winning and playing hard, then I think we're going to have a fun season. And that's what it seems like we have here.
All right. Well, the show premieres this Sunday on November 3rd at 8 p.m. Eastern, and I can't wait. on YouTube, by the way. Sorry, you can just, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell people where to go. YouTube, it's, you can go to YouTube and search for Sequester Access or Sequester Season 3. Either one will get you there. You can also go to the YouTube page for the cast, and I have the link there in the information underneath the video.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how close I was on the mark with some of these gut reads here after watching these interviews. So that'll be a lot of fun. All right, thank you so much for hanging out with us here. You can of course find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. I'm on Twitter at Armstrong Taren and Instagram Taren_Armstrong. Just find me at, you know, at any of those places, or just really just Google my name. It's just we will be covering the season when it starts in just a few days at this point. We're getting there. We're getting
close.
By the
way, I wanted to just put this out there because, you know, a lot of your followers listen to this podcast, but you can also always find me at One Lucky Gay, by the way. But whenever I type your name, like when I'm like adding you or tagging you, I type your name into Twitter. I literally have to basically type the entire thing out before it will prompt me to go with Taren Armstrong. It'll give me like Lance Armstrong, people I don't even follow, and like I'm serious, like Taren, it'll give me like the guy from Saturday Night Live, and I'm like, why don't you, it knows that I text you and Twitter you a lot. I don't understand why it's ghosting you. So I'm just wondering if that happens to other people when they're trying to tag you. Like I think I literally got to, I typed out like Taren Armstrong earlier today, and it for some reason gave me Taren Armstrong 1, which is like a totally another person, and then I'm like, who I don't even follow and have never interacted with. So I'm very put out with Twitter these days with your tag, Taren.
Them bitches be conspiring. Damn. Yeah. Well, what are you gonna do? But thank you for joining us today. I apologize if you have trouble adding me on Twitter, complain to Twitter about it.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, thank you so much, and we'll see you soon.
Sequester, of all the podcasts, this one here is the best, sir. If you don't listen